welcome to the Mad Trio Podcast. This week we have the California Pariah, Jonathan Charney, James the Fat Man Stevens, and Ryan, it's only a sunburn, Preston. So,
Are you talking about the hickey?
I'm not saying anything. I promised him I wouldn't say anything. All right. So this week I had an interesting phone conversation with somebody, and I don't want to give too much information about the guy because he might hear this, but he told me he doesn't allow his kids to play with guns, Nerf guns, etc., or even play toy guns type of thing. Not the first time I've heard this.
Does he let them play with toast that looks like a gun?
And so the conversation I had with him, I said, so you don't let your kids have BB gun wars or pellet gun wars? You know, I think his oldest kid, maybe 6 or 7, something like that. And he said, he had this, as soon as I said that, he had this disgusted, kind of aghast look on his face. It's like, oh my God, no. And I told him, if it makes you feel any better, I've been shooting since I was 6 years old, and I've had more safety conversations about firearms than almost any law enforcement officer I know, because how long I've been shooting. And he's like, no, John, that does not make me feel better. And I thought this was an interesting thing to bring up, was the fact that, and it's probably something we've talked about before, but the differences in viewpoint when it comes to most people and guns. There's people who, like on me, who I'm on the extreme end of it, and I realize that a firearm is pretty much like a shovel. It won't do anything if you just leave it there. Like there's a meme out there somewhere, and I think it's of American Dad, of the gun just sitting there and you know, him saying, shoot.
Kill somebody.
The other side of the fence where people think, oh, guns are they're dangerous, they're guilty, they kill things. And so I thought it was an interesting, because this is the first time in a long time I've really run into somebody who is basically how the guns are the dangerous
gun
thing.
Phobe?
I don't know if he was phobic, because I don't know the guy that well, but it was just...
It sounds like he falls in the gun phobe category.
I'm assuming he's...
I mean, if he doesn't even allow a Nerf gun, come on.
I wanted to ask more, but I don't know him that well. But yeah, but the weirdest thing is, I know a guy who is as pro-gun as you can get. Granted, the dude was nuttier than a fruitcake, but he was the same way. He was super pro-gun, but wouldn't let his kids play with Nerf guns or play toy guns. Or
well, see, I can understand that if you're like full extreme gun, is you don't want to have the kids thinking it's okay to point a gun at a friend.
See, this
which
is,
you would do with a Nerf gun or a toy gun.
But see, that's the part I always thought was weird, is I've legitimately been shooting since I was 6 years old, and I knew the difference. Like, I knew, okay, this is the end where bullets come out, and this can kill people, versus the Nerf gun. This can't kill somebody. It'll hurt somebody. The same thing with a pellet.
Nerf guns hurt?
Depends on when you shoot the person, yes, they can. So that was...
I'm still not convinced.
I have a BB in my foot.
So I don't know. It was an interesting thought, because I always found it fascinating, and I've had multiple conversations with somebody. And usually the conversation goes that the reason guns are dangerous and they should be controlled is because because guns are the most expedient way to kill people. And it usually comes down to
that's really what the argument comes down to, because that's the only, because a lot of the arguments get into the weeds, and most of, I don't care if somebody knows, you know, sort of a lot about what they're talking about, it still disagrees with it. I mean, I try to not talk right out of my ass when I'm talking about something, although I tend to sometimes, but I tend to kind of bridge the gap for a lot of people I know with guns, because I'm in a not gun nut place, and it's one of my favorite hobbies. One of the things I wish I could do all the time, if just, you know, given the infinite money. But, you know, it's usually out of lack of knowledge of what it is and what we as gun people are sort of aware of. You know, most people think that it's sort of a kind of willy-nilly, like we roll around with it like we see people in movies, or that there's just this 10 layers of like safety knowledge and those sorts of situational awareness things that have been drilled into all of our heads for as long as we've been holding guns.
Well,
that they have never thought about it, you know what I mean? So when they kind of hear about those things, if they still sort of are not big fans of guns, at least they kind of understand, like, all right, these people and are by and large careful about what they're doing. You know what I mean? They respect what's going on.
Well, I know.
But yeah, the argument still is just that, like you said,
I know two people.
This is an expedient equalizer. You know what I mean? That might not be the wisest thing to have accessible.
I know two people, and both of them have been around firearms for a good portion of their lives. And they both have the same kind of anti-gun stance as far as how guns are dangerous because, you know, firearms kill, and they're the most expedient. And I say, but hammers kill more people, blah, blah, blah. Because there's a statistic out there that, like, hammers and other things kill more people statistically than firearms do, especially if you take out the suicide rate, which a lot of the murder rate or the gun deaths or whatever it was happens to be suicides. If you actually break it down.
And Kurt Cobain agrees.
Oof. Thankfully that didn't go over my head. I don't even know how to reply to those people at this point because it went through his. So how do you respond to somebody?
I was wondering if you're going to do that.
Because how do you explain to somebody? Because to me, a gun has always been like a shovel or a car. So I don't know, like, how do you bridge the gap and honestly bridge a gap in the conversation between my viewpoint versus somebody else? Because it's the person's heart, and this has always been my argument, that it's the person that corrupts the firearm. The user makes the choice for the gun, not the gun chooses.
Well, and what's interesting is I can make you a better argument for why to get rid of cars. Than guns. You know, cars is a convenience. It's a matter of, hey, we're able to get from A to B quicker. But cars kills, I mean, I don't know, whatever it is, 30,000, 40,000 people a year, I think, or I might be way off on that number. I'll look what I'm talking. It kills X amount of people per year in traffic accidents or pedestrian versus car accidents and all those things.
Suicides.
I mean, sure. Yeah. Even people just purposely misusing it for ill intent. So just based off your convenience, we're all as a society willing to accept those amounts of death because cars are fucking convenient as shit. You know, we're able to accept our iPhones being made from kids in, you know, India or some shithole fucking part of whatever fucking country in a mine. We're fine with that because we got
4K. They make iPhones from kids?
I would say that.
So when it comes down to the one thing that protects us as individuals, you know what I'm saying? Because to me, that's fundamentally what it is we all would have the right to protect ourselves as individuals and not just rely on the people showing up at the right time to save my life, you know? It's a personal choice that we all make, of course. I'm not handing everybody a gun, but
I would say that in most of the United States, sans some of the larger cities, I would say cars are kind of a requirement mostly. Places like maybe...
Yeah, it depends.
I trust me.
Okay, 3,200 deaths a year. I'm sorry. Holy shit. 3,200 deaths a day.
By car?
Yeah.
Get the fuck out of here, really?
Let me put it this way. Like, right now, for what I do for a living, I have to have a car. So
didn't they do that DUI shit at your school where they like did the little bell of every time.
Man, well, you know what? I thought I was pretty fucking close. Nearly 1.25 million people die in road accidents each year. So, you know, when the Tesla, Google and all the self-driving cars basically make it absolutely not only possible but morally like the right thing to do to get rid of person driven cars, and people like, you know, the recreational drivers of the world are gonna get up in arms about like, this is horseshit. I want to drive my car. How dare you take my car from me?
Well,
you know, like, but
I have to have a car. So I would say, depending on you live, cars are convenience versus a necessity. I would say for where I am, cars are a necessity. Granted, you could make the argument.
How far do you drive?
About an hour a day, one way.
about an hour one way. Let's see, that's about, I mean, where you are, you're doing actual decent speed limits. So about 60 miles.
Something like that. It's 45 minutes to an hour. Yeah, it's something like that. I actually haven't looked. I used to know, but since I do the drive all the time, I haven't tracked it, or I don't remember. So the thing on the gun thing.
Like that's a decent ride on a horse you're doing. I mean, you know, you could do that on a horse in about an hour and a half.
No.
Maybe an hour 40. People do an hour 40
if you don't kill the horse
every day on the way to work. There's people who live in Los Angeles and they work in like Riverside, which is a good hour and a half away, and so they make that commute every day. I think that you should get rid of your car and get a horse.
Yeah, no, that's more than a couple. Cheaper? That's more than an hour. That's
do you know how much it costs to feed a goddamn horse?
Yeah, I mean about as much as your house. You know,
have you ever heard of the dental bill on horses?
Actually, no.
Well,
those are freaking insane, dude. The horse dentists make like six figures a year.
Damn.
Oh, man.
So
you got to live in the right area, though.
Yeah,
to get
you do, but.
Kind of to kind of circle the wagons a little bit, but closer to the argument was how do you? I don't know how to bridge that gap of the differences in viewpoints, because
the thing is there's not a way. You know, there's regular discussions to be had. I mean, I think we should start talking about like where to actually draw the line.
Well, let me put it this
protection.
Way. Being from California, a California pro-gun, and I'm literally as pro-gun as you can get without being incredibly wacky, is the fact that I'm done compromising. And the state of California, you always get, well, we're just going to do this, and they check a little off. And, oh, we just want this, and they check a little off. It's a death by a thousand cuts. Now they're talking about, now in California, they want you to register your ammo. What they want you to do is they also want you to register uppers and triggers and barrels. So you're going to have to do that and go through DROS. And what they really want to do is they also want to take away semi-automatics, because those are dangerous. So in California, as a gun guy, I don't compromise anymore. I will never compromise on my opinion on the Second Amendment, because the liberals, hold on, I'm not finished. The leftists, not the liberals, the leftists.
He needs the douchebags.
The leftists, for some reason, don't want you to have firearms, which I don't understand, because I don't know any leftists personally that like cops, but they all want cops to be in my neighborhood in seconds. So to quote my local sheriff, when seconds count, cops are minutes away. By the time law enforcement's job is to not stop crime, it's basically to solve crime. They do everything after the fact. Law enforcement's not proactive.
And, you know, there's minority report. Obviously. I mean, you know, it's not the Wild West anymore because there's cops around and you don't really want to rob the liquor store.
Don't use that term Wild West again.
Hold on. I want to amend one thing. I'm totally for self-defense, but I don't particularly want to shoot anybody. I have no desire to kill anybody.
I do.
Just to make that clear, because I've actually had people ask me, have you killed anybody?
Yeah, I mean, shit. Well, and the correct response is,
are you volunteering?
I need to clarify something.
Not you.
Yeah, I know, but... Sorry, what...
I need to clarify something for the listening audience. Anybody who ever meets or engages with James in any way, via email or in person, any function, run into him anywhere like that, keep in mind one thing. You're talking to a crazy person who, if you ask a question to, you're not going to get a normal answer.
I don't see James isn't crazy. You just have to be insanely specific. Like, you have to...
See, that's the point, is it's almost on the spectrum with how fucking literal people take you.
He's like Drax the Destroyer, but not as dangerous and a little bit wackier.
Right. And he's doing it to make you look like an asshole.
Yeah, true.
Which is really easy most of the time.
So...
But yeah, no, look, the attitude of, and look, man, I understand, you know what I mean? I've talked to many of folk and I definitely get it, but the attitude of, the not compromising and all these things, you basically sound like every NRA person that the left is citing when they say these fucking assholes won't compromise, so we won't compromise either.
But here's,
which is the exact reason nothing is getting done.
But here's the thing.
Here's my idea. We set up a gun person in a room, very much like the beginning of Battlestar Galactica, where the humans sent like an envoy once a year to meet the humans, or the humans sent an envoy to meet a Cylon if they decided to come over and nobody ever showed up.
Come on. You're getting a little too buried in your example.
No, that was a great fucking reference, by the way. But I think we need to get the reasonable people together with the reasonable people on each side of this argument and actually compromise instead of just, you know, because that's what the NRA does, is just go after every single thing, no matter how much sense it makes, which makes the left think that you guys are crazy.
I want to answer. So to disprove your comment just a little bit, I've actually had comments with people, and this is I've had multiple comments or assertions like this. They want to ban the AR-15, not because it's semi-automatic, because most people don't know the difference between fully automatic and semi-automatic and single shot. Don't know why, but they don't. They want to ban it because it's black and it looks scary, which in one conversation is verbatim. Instead of you say it's a military-looking rifle that shoots semi-automatic. Unfortunately, and I do mean this unfortunately because there's such a lack of gun knowledge in modern-day society, don't know why, that there is no reasonable, there is no way to compromise anymore. I'm okay with the 3 to 10 day waiting period, think it's bullshit. I'm okay with that. I'm okay with a lot of things. However, I'm not okay with the fact that my ammo is going to be tracked. If I want to get a new upper for an AR-15, I have to wait 10 days for it, or a new barrel, or this or that. There's a lot of things that I compromised as a voter before, up to the point in California, this is a little bit of hyperbole, but not by much, they want to ban firearms. And every time, every political season, they get closer. It really is a death by 1,000 cuts. And that's why I will not compromise anymore, because at this point, you really don't have a lot of room between outright banning a firearm and not. In California, there's such thing as a handgun roster. There's a roster of firearms that California, for some reason, deems safe. It's a complete bullshit list, but it's true. So what happens is manufacturers have to submit a firearm, they test it, and they have to pay money every year to keep it on this list. And in order to get new handguns on this list, they have a list of requirements, and some of them are completely bullshit. But literally, just by attrition, in say 10 to 20 years, there might not be any legal firearms in the state of California that are brand new. There are no new models in the state of California, and I'm literally not exaggerating by that. This is why most...
Yeah, I mean, California is definitely the tip of the spear on that front. So I think we're more heavily regulated than any other state, aren't we?
New York, parts of Illinois.
Oh, that doesn't surprise me. Illinois?
Yeah, Chicago is terrible.
It's very tight. D.C. used to be, now.
I know that. I get that.
This is why I've been branded an extremist by people I know, and then when I tell them the argument, they still say I'm extremist because I'm tired of 1,000 cuts, because you can't really do that to anything else. If you did that to the First Amendment, people would go nuts.
Here's my opinion. Aside from legitimately trying to find the more reasonable people and stay out of the fringes of that kind of thing, and actually like talk about things, I think there is certain things that we can compromise on. And I'm not saying that you and I are opposites on this topic at all. I'm just saying that us and them can bridge a gap somehow. And here's the thing, is I think with enough knowledge, we can get a couple of those things dialed back and maybe give something in another angle to them. You know what I'm saying?
There are plenty of programs. Like, for example, the NRA. And I realize a lot of people don't like the NRA. They're not my particularly favorite group of individuals right now as it is. NRA has the Eddie Eagle program. The CPRA and other organizations have education for firearms geared towards children. I've always been the proponent, I will do this with my children, and I will do this with anybody else's children, is the fact to teach kids young. When I was a kid, the first thing I learned when my dad, when I realized what a firearm was, is my dad said, or teacher said too, it's like, you see that? What's that? Well, that's a gun. What do you do when you see one? Tell an adult. That was the first step to training children the proper safety. And then at a certain age, I got to shoot my first gun. And what it is now firearms have gone from, and I think kind of death is the same way, is the fact that firearms have gone from a reality, something people understood, and it was a tool for some people, to it became something you see on TV and video games. There's too big of a gap between knowledge and fantasy.
But there's also, okay, here's going to be my other idea. If us gun people who like firearms for whatever reason, all, you know, hunting or target shooting, what have you, which are all recreational. There's not a gun person that I know that likes guns because they want to kill people. We call those people psychopaths, and we do try to avoid them at all costs. So everything that I know about guns has always been recreational. You know what I mean? I think the same for you guys. So
recreational compared to what? Like military?
Yeah, basically that's the thing. I mean, I think that's the thing that people think is that it's like we're looking for an excuse, you know, sometimes, and we're absolutely not.
I've known a few people that were, you could tell that they were nice, ordinary individuals, but they were a little bit closer to let's let shit happen versus me, who's like, fuck that.
But here's the thing is ask those people, the people that you talk to like that. I mean, fuck, if you got some spare time, ask them if they want to go shoot it. Take them to an indoor gun range and show them what it is. I think education in this thing, just people going there, like I took my girlfriend and she's still not a fan. Basically it was loud and, you know, we're standing in a small room, so it was much more loud than usual.
But props to your girlfriend for
kind of understood.
For not even willing to do it, but actually doing it.
It kind of hurt the webbing of her hand, if I remember right.
She's probably holding. Sounds like she's holding too far up on the firearm.
She's making recoil gestures over here. It was a recoil.
So what exactly was she shooting?
I got a 92F Beretta.
9mm? Or is it 45?
9mm.
Wow, the 9mm hurt her?
Yeah. Slide bite. And even a decent heavy gun,
I'm thinking
like
she
a,
didn't stance.
Like a Beretta.
I'm thinking she probably didn't stand, hold it, or stand right, because that can do it.
It's all Rand's fault.
But also,
I mean,
it could be the fact that
it's a lot to do with grip.
It could be with the fact that if you're like somebody like me, I haven't been shooting the last 3 years, but I've been shooting my whole life. So for me, it's just something I've been doing my whole life. And I got bad habits,
right,
but I'm used to it. Versus somebody like his girlfriend, who's never done it before, or that their only interaction with firearms is on television. I could see you not being used to it, because reality is guns.
Right.
Guns can be scary. I mean, they're louder than a motherfucker,
right?
Especially in a closed room.
And then I went to the 1911 45 because she didn't want to stay there. So I'm like, all right, I'm going to at least get 50 rounds out of this. So I made her shoot that one too.
1911 is the greatest gun ever invented, and if y'all don't agree,
ever invented,
y'all can fuck off.
Hands down, no shit. I'm right there with you, buddy. My favorite gun ever.
And by the way, the old guy will agree.
Was actually the first gun I ever shot. But so I always had an affinity for that. It was the gun that Martin Riggs carried in Lethal Weapon. So, you know.
Fucking don't like that gun. I'm not a Beretta fan.
What I think you would at the very least show that person, whether or not they like it, is how much you respect it and how careful you are and how much you're thinking about what's going on at any given point.
See,
you know, like there's not one moment where your focus is off what you're doing, where you forget that this thing in your hand could kill somebody.
So,
you know,
so James and Ryan, do you guys think it's a matter of practical usage versus conversation? Cause I've had the conversation with people about how much I respect firearms. I would have literally gotten beat if I did something stupid with a firearm because of how dangerous they really are as a child. So I've described safety measures of being careful. I've even told stories of James and I's interaction with one really wacky RSO. which we've probably relayed to you, but if you guys ever want to hear the story, let me know. It's fairly entertaining to tell. And so do you think it's just a matter of actually showing them how safe you really are versus you telling them the respect? Because I've always told people fearing guns is a lot like fearing God. That's the same amount of respect you need for both.
Well, if you don't respect the gun, you're going to need them.
I think partly being that from you seeing how seriously you are when you hand somebody who's never handled a firearm before, and you're showing them and you're looking them in the eye like, hey, look at me. This might be the most serious thing you've ever heard. I need you to pay attention. You know what I mean? And they see that kind of care towards the act of what you're doing. There's that, and there's also just the mystery being taken away from what it is. You kind of understand the mechanics. You know what the general principles are, what it takes to do that, and that it's not fucking easy. You know what I mean? It's not like some kid can just pick up a gun. I mean, the shit obviously happens on accident, but to be all of a sudden a good shot to go after somebody, I mean, it is very difficult.
No, that shit takes practice. It's not easy. I mean, I haven't shot in years just because of certain circumstances. And every time I go shooting, I have to, you know, it's a learning lesson. The basics
it's
of it.
It's a perishable skill.
100%. 100%.
And I don't think that if we took everybody who's never shot a gun before shooting, that we'd get everybody on the side of like, okay, guns are not as bad as I thought. But I think you'd get half, honestly.
Well,
or at least a reasonable half.
Two things is, one, and I've told this story before. I took a church group shooting, but beforehand, because at the time I had the church group met at my house. I brought out one of my firearms. I checked it in my bedroom, made sure it was completely loaded. I mean, excuse me, not. I tried to kill my church group. Apparently, I made sure it was completely unloaded, 100% safe, and I handed them the firearm. It's like, okay. And they're like, what's this? Before I do this, I want to see if you know anything. Because it's a safe firearm, because I knew it, but they didn't. I wanted to see where their skill level was. And some people disagree with the way I did it, but it was my way of knowing how much knowledge do I have to part to them versus just too unsafe to take. And it worked really well. I had a really good basic understanding of it. And then I broke down how to lock the slide back, how to actually be safe, what to do very, you know, and they were pretty safe, you know, and I forgot my other.
Yeah. There's a way of, I think James, was it you that told me you were giving your kid like a cap gun just to get him used to trigger discipline?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. That's a fucking great idea. It's like, hey, here's this fake gun that you can go and play around with. If I see you fucking walking around with your finger on the trigger all day long, you know, and pulling it out of your pants, you know, in weird positions and not realizing where your finger is, we're gonna have problems, and you're not gonna go shooting. But if you know, if you see some good fundamentals get kind of built in over a period of time, where it just kind of becomes that natural movement.
Yeah. There
you
is,
know, like yeah, we're moving up, you know.
Yeah, he's actually fired. I think he's just fired my Henry. He wasn't really interested in shooting a hand. No, I did have him shoot I had him shoot a Henry, and I also had him shoot a 911, so 1911. But yeah, those are the only two guns he's fired.
Henry has surprisingly light recoil for how heavy that fucking barrel is. I'm not surprised, but
it's a 45 long Colt. It's basically a pistol cartridge. Come on, there's.
I mean, basically that too.
You want to shoot something that'll fucking hurt? Shoot my 30-30. That'll give you a higher voice.
Ooh.
the
John.
What I really want to shoot is the double deuce.
What are you saying, James?
You're never going to get people that have an aversion to guns to like them.
I wasn't really aiming
and
for them to like them.
The reason why is because they've had instilled in them through either media or entertainment that they've got an irrational fear.
I would say, or life experience.
And it's an irrational fear. That's really what it is. And they're not going to want to either compromise or come out of that irrational fear.
I would say there's also...
And there's always going to be a group of people that are like that.
I would say there's also life experience, because I could totally see some areas like that, but...
Well, I mean, there's a lot of things. I don't
expect to change anybody's opinion. Never have. I don't generally try. But I love to come to a standpoint where they're not interfering so much in my life. And I totally understand where firearms are dangerous. I'm not an idiot. I literally, as I've said like 12 dozen times, I've been shooting my whole life. I get it. But there's some irrational fear from people when it comes to firearms that is ridiculous. Like, most politicians, when they talk about firearms, who aren't Republicans, even the Republicans get it wrong, 99.99% of the time, they're talking out of their ass. And it's actually fucking insulting. So they don't get anything right. And most of these anti-gun people generally don't get it right. I've even had one particular tech pundit who I was talking to actually say, well, I know a lot about firearms because I've reached it. I've researched it. And it's like, well, hold on. Have you actually gone out and shooting for an afternoon? Have you had some fun with it?
And he has PTSD now.
Right. So it's just, I don't know. It just bugs me because there's no middle ground, and I don't understand them, because everything in life to some degree is dangerous. I mean, are they afraid of gun people? Now, there's a lot of mass shootings that have happened in the last so many years, and everybody's response to this is it's the gun issue. It's the gun's fault. And my whole thing from the beginning was, why did this person do that? Did the system fail in some way or another? In some of the shootings, the system totally failed because of some reasons or another. Now, can we fix that? Okay, the other reason, did what happened? Is there something in society that has been happening that is more stressful? Are they not getting help? That's always been my opinion. And you talk to all these anti-gun people like, oh, no, it's the gun's fault. So if there was no gun available, would this guy not blow himself up, not do something? This whole conversation with them just blows my mind how unwilling some of these people are to open their mind to a conversation. They're so fixated by this evil, mysterious thing that's basically metal, or in the Glock's case, plastic.
Well, and a lot of it is being sort of told in a bubble, because most people that I talk to, like, I might be the first, like gun person they talk to. You know what I mean? So, like, if I get into a conversation with somebody, and this probably happens a lot more to me than you guys, because you live in an area where it might not be as uncommon. To have an uncle or somebody who you grew up with around who, likes guns. But people around me, they sort of talk to themselves, and they kind of get into the feedback loop of everybody not knowing anything, but everybody sort of hitting the same talking points. So when I talk to them, I try to come at it from I get absolutely everything you're saying. Let me offer you some more information and a perspective that you might not have.
I think part
of it. Here's what we think, like you guys think of us as one way, and you'll get people who have this idea of gun people as like straight up rednecks, like the shotgun on the knee and the beer in the other hand.
That's
and to a certain extent, I mean, obviously that we can't pretend those people don't exist.
I would say that the main disagreement between me and the people I know who are anti-gun is it comes down to the person or the gun. You know, are guns evil or the person evil? And that's a conversation. It's a viewpoint thing. It's a worldview thing. And I don't think there's any way, like James says, I don't think there's a way to change people's opinion when their automatic opinions, like the gun is the one doing it. It's because when you explain to them how firearms work, a firearm basically keeps, basically what it is, it's a chemical reaction that causes pressure, and the pressure blows out the bullet. Hasn't changed in hundreds of years.
No, it's a projectile.
And it's a very simple concept that can be replicated whether or not there's gun laws.
It's a projectile weapon.
Yeah.
We have used projectile weapons since throwing a fucking rock. Okay.
It's
the same principle.
100%.
It's just that it moves at a faster pace. We move from throwing a rock to throwing a rock through a sling, through throwing sharpened rock on a stick.
A fucking slingshot can do
a lot.
I mean, we did a string on a bow with that's where we ended up, and then we finally went to a gunpowder reaction with a chunk of hardened material that ended up being lead, and it just kept going from there and there and there.
Do you think we as a country, or we as a people, and I just mean the U.S. because I don't really read gun stuff outside of the U.S. Do you think we're more risk averse culture? Because I'd have to say, as much as it pains me, to some degree, firearms are a risk. Nothing.
Risk adverse culture?
Yeah.
Did you just make that shit up?
No. No, no, I didn't. Because what do you think, Ryan?
What? About what?
Do you think we're a more risk adverse country? Basically, meaning that we as a country have decided not to take as many risks.
Comparison to who?
The way we used to be. Like, fucking lawn darts were a thing. You couldn't do lawn darts now.
I mean, there are certain things that obviously have to be like a okay, too many people are going to misuse this and you know, holy shit. You know, lawn darts was kind of a bad idea because...
Well, yes, but I meant like to firearms. For firearms, for example.
There's so many fundamental reasons why that's, for one, on sort of equal par with a number of other things, but also fundamental to the foundation of the country. And not even just like remember our heritage and yay USA, but I mean, really, I mean, when well-regulated militia, you know what I'm saying? Like we did that so we wouldn't have to potentially,
do you want the King of England coming into your house and pushing you around?
That's also why they put it in the Constitution. You couldn't require people to house soldiers.
Yes.
Right.
Read your Constitution.
So it's basically stopping like a dictatorship if ever in the future there'd be a civilian uprising, essentially.
But little did you know, thanks to Big Brother and Amazon, you don't have to house a soldier. You're purchasing it. The fucking Echo.
Not to mention, there's no way we're ever getting drones. So but here's the thing is that anybody trying to run a dictatorship really wouldn't do a very good job because there wouldn't be any people. You either have to kill us all or imprison us all, at which point, how do you run shit? What are you running? You're running land.
Yeah, what was it? God, I wish I remember this quote because it was a really good quote. But the basics of the quote was saying basically what you do to make a dictatorship is get people to walk inside of it. You know, you make it look comfortable and safe and fun and all this. And the people voluntarily lock themselves in a cage. You know, I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, well, yeah, of course. I mean, and there's a lot of things in the government that are sort of geared that direction that are, you know, slowly kind of just keeping the power right where it should be. I'm not trying to sound like a conspiracy nut, but I mean, it really is true. There's a lot of systems that people have a short memory on that have been going around for a long time. I mean, it's like the corporation having a plan for the next 200 years for their growth and development. The country does too, even though we might only be able to look 5 years or in the past or in the future.
I think America's problem with politics is the fact it's so short-sighted. And I think that has to do a lot with the fact that we as a country are we're a very new country. So, and we're, I think, we're the longest running democracy. So there's really not exactly a guidepost on how to keep American style democracy running. Cause I don't know if there's a whole lot of other countries that actually run a democracy like we do. If there's any other countries.
I don't know, maybe one or two.
Because a lot of them run off the parliamentary system, which always looked really entertaining. Because if you ever watch the British Parliament, those fuckers are cruel. They're highly quick-witted. I once heard a British politician, I guess he got dragged to some sort of United States government thing, and he basically said that American politics is incredibly boring. Which is true. Ever watch C-SPAN? Half the old dudes are sleeping. And then there was John McCain playing poker on his cell phone.
Do you blame him?
I'm surprised he stayed in government as long as he did. To give people a reason why firearms should be banned, at least from some people, repeat felon drops drugs from his rectum after shooting himself in the testicle. Cameron Jeffrey Wilson, 27, was carrying a pistol in his front pocket where in Cashmere, Washington apartments on April 5th when the firearm accidentally discharged, pierced his groin and thigh. Wilson, however, wasn't just a felon. He was commonly known in law enforcement circles as a recidivist. So basically, this 20-year-old, this 27-year-old felon, who's a 13-time convicted felon, got a hold of a girlfriend and then shot his testicle off.
Man.
Did she shoot it off or he did it himself?
He did it. So the story, he had it in his front pocket, and for some reason it was pointed towards his nuts. Somehow it went off and blew one of his nuts off.
I don't blame the gun.
It's the first time it's like, huh.
I actually applaud the gun. Good job, gun.
Let's see. Why the
Washington? I mean, one.
One class. One class. And that guy still has nuts.
Why the
Washington? I mean, that's day one kind of shit right there. You know what I'm saying?
And I bet he was wearing mesh, like, basketball shorts. And here, this is the funny part. So why the Washington criminal justice system had played a year-long game of catch and release with Wilson through 13 prior felony convictions. 13 times, and he was let go like a fish.
What state was this? Washington?
Washington. That's amazing to me that you can get 13 felonies and get released. Because even California used to be, fuck that. Lock his ass up. Wow, I guess Ryan's just like, fuck you guys, I'm going home.
I was trying to talk to you, and you just kept cutting him off. And he is home.
I'm getting him back. Ryan, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay. So did you hear my last sentence?
No, I missed the funny part, whatever the funny part was.
The part that I thought was funny is because, so let's see. Where was it?
13.
Oh, yeah. Why the Washington criminal justice system had played years-long game with a catch and release with Wilson through 13 prior felonies. So basically, they treated this guy like a fish through 13 felonies. 13.
Could 13 felonies.
And he was, I don't know, that just amazes me that you can get 13 felonies and not, at some point in time, get an extended stay in jail.
They were just waiting for him to become a eunuch.
Yeah, look, I mean, like, I'm really not a fan of the three strikes thing, but there's a fucking line. You know what I mean? Like,
obviously not in Washington.
Like, I mean, like, I'm not saying throw him in jail for life either. I'm just saying, like, hey, bros, you know what? 10's the fucking limit, dog. I gotta give you 20 years. You really got to go cool your heels for quite some time. I'll let you out, but you're going to be old as fuck and not moving around as quick as he used to be.
Apparently, they got to throw him in jail.
He's not moving around as easily either. Well, I guess he might be moving a little bit light in the loafers.
Apparently, they need to throw him in jail for his protection. I mean, I knew a guy who accidentally shot himself in the foot, but the fucking nuts. I heard this morning on one of my favorite radio shows and just was laughing in my office at work because I just couldn't imagine. Because I bet he was wearing.
Now,
I bet he was wearing basketball shorts.
John,
that's what I was imagining.
How many times have you heard of somebody accidentally discharging a firearm while cleaning it?
A few, and I'm always amazed every time.
How do you do that?
Yeah, I'm amazed every time.
How do you discharge a firearm?
I'm trying to remember if I've only ever heard that on like TV or something.
Hey, Ryan,
I don't know if I've known anybody who's ever done that.
Hey, Ryan, can you hear James?
Yeah.
He doesn't care.
Okay, I just want to make sure. Because if you read the instructions when cleaning firearms, it's like step one or two after take cleaning products out of package.
Well, as far as I'm concerned, like the first step, I mean, aren't you going to clean the barrel? Like, how do you not know that there's something in the barrel besides the actual, I don't even know the name of it, but the scrub thing, you know? What is the name of that, John?
The brush?
The brush. Well, I mean, but you know, it's like a.
But we particularly know an RSO
pipe cleaner
who pointed the firearm at his face, and he knew it was loaded because we told him.
Yeah, but I mean, like, if you have a gun and even a revolver, how do you discharge a revolver or a rifle while cleaning it? Like, it just boggles my mind. Like, were you just trying to check to see if it was clear by shooting a bullet down there, the barrel?
There's an issue between the table and the chair.
Anyways.
So I'm going to tell my favorite RSO story because I love telling it.
Okay. For the record, everybody, RSO is Range Safety Officer, in case you're wondering.
Thank you, Mr. Wizard.
For the four fucking people listening, I thought I'd bring it up.
So my favorite range story. So imagine this. It's a wonderful summer day. James and I go down to our local range for an afternoon of
the sheriff range,
blissful shooting. And I took out one of my, I brought two firearms, one for James to shoot and one for me. And the particular firearm James was shooting has an issue that I was unaware of. The cylinder stops.
As I was as well.
A set screw backs up after you, if you shoot. You should
let them know what kind of gun it was, John.
I wanted them to guess.
If you're starting to say cylinder and all this stuff. I mean,
okay, so it was.
You got to expect these people to be actually gun dumb.
Okay, so I was James was shooting a revolver, and there's a set screw on this particular revolver that backs out that can stop the cylinder from rotating. And it's literally just a matter of having a little screwdriver and backing out. And I was unaware of this. I didn't know this would actually do that. And so the cylinder had locked up, something not really a problem because it's a quick fix. This particular range safety officer and all his moronic gloriness, this wonderful man decided to point the barrel, the business end, the thing the bullet comes out of, at his face with his hand in the trigger well. Now, if you don't know what the trigger well is, it houses the fucking trigger. He gripped it with his four fingers near the hammer, one finger on the trigger well. And this jabroni was looking at the barrel end of the fire of my firearm. And James and I look at each other and back away. Because none of us wanted
a big step backwards.
Because James and I, you could tell the look on her face was, we don't want to get any of this on us. Like, it's bad enough we're going to have to explain how the guy shot himself with my gun. And it's a story that James and I have told for years just because we can't believe it. We're like, this guy.
What kind of gun was it?
It was a .357.
Oh, Jesus.
And it was shooting.
No, it didn't matter at that distance, but, you know.
No.
And it was factory loads, too, which is the reason why James and I were just kind of like, okay, I guess we'll just move diagonal and hope it doesn't ricochet. Oh,
man.
And considering that the cylinder wasn't lining up with the barrel, there was probably going to be fragments of lead flying everywhere with bone matter.
If it actually triggered the excuse me, the thing that hits it off.
The primer?
Yes, thank you, the primer. I love that story because it shows that not everybody thinks we're shooting. And this guy actually had to be trained. He had to go to a class. He had to be educated. And let me repeat this. He had to be fucking trained not to point the shooty end towards his face or somebody else.
And you know, yeah.
And somehow he either slept.
It's one of those things that people would assume is a no-brainer, but it's absolutely something people cover.
Now, and the thing is I did everything proper to call this guy over. Okay? I literally loaded the gun, put the cylinder back into the position, realized, oh, it's not lining up with the barrel. So I tried to move the cylinder to lock up back with the barrel, wouldn't do it. So I set the gun down, backed away from where the gun was, because I set it down at my spot that I was shooting from, the lane, called the guy over. I said, this gun is not lining up. It is fully loaded. It will not open up to get the cylinder back out. And I didn't hand the firearm to him. He had to go over and pick it up, which is how you're supposed to do it when you're calling a range officer over.
At least at this range.
Yeah. So, you know, did all that proper. And the guy still, I have no idea what went through his head, but he's lucky it wasn't a .357 bullet.
I laugh, and I feel bad for laughing because he was an older gentleman and he was a cranky son of a bitch. But I have never seen in all the years I've been shooting somebody to point the gun, a loaded firearm, at their face to see why it was misfiring. Because there is a chance if say there was a delayed reaction or whatnot, which does happen occasionally, that the gun would go off, which is one of the reasons why James held it for a little bit, set it down, then walked away, because stuff like that happens.
It's called a hang fire.
Thank you.
Yeah, it's just, you know, the fire and doesn't really catch right away, and it might go off in a second, and you want to just give it a second. That guy was going for a Darwin Award.
We almost watched the stupidest suicide in history.
I refer to it as Elmer Fudding himself.
And it's, and I don't know, I don't think that guy was an RSO much after that, because I remember a year, some point in time later, I don't remember when, we told my dad that story, and he's like, what? Even my dad, who's been shooting longer than I've been alive, was like,
wait, no, isn't your dad a gunsmith also?
Yeah, he's a gunsmith, gun nut, you know.
And also teaches CCW classes, right?
He does. He shoots CCW, concealed and carry weapons permit, at least in the state of California.
Yeah, that's a trained individual right there.
Yes, yes. And I can't describe you the level of shock and awe, to coin a phrase, that James and I had on our faces, because it was something that we never expected. I've never seen since. I don't want to see since. It's just the weirdest experience I have ever had. The other scary thing I've had is I've helped my dad train, and in some counties in California, United States, you have to do what's called range qualifications. So range qualifications generally is you're shooting at a target at different distances and you have to get in with a certain ring of your target. And I've never felt more unsafe around firearms than then. And I was behind people. And so somebody shot a hole through the table. Some people's hands, and it wasn't their fault, but they were older and they should have known better. Some people's hands were shaking so much that if they shot somebody, there's a good chance it would have been the person next to them. Some people tried to be cowboys and be like, you know, do the whole Clint Eastwood thing. And it's just like, I can you guys go back to remedial firearm class? The other one was ladies, this is for you. If you're going to go shooting, I love y'all, the fact that you feel free to wear whatever shirt you want. But if you wear a shirt that shows any cleavage, there's a good chance that you're going to get a burn that says, you know, like the Colt on it. Because this one chick who was fairly well endowed had hot brass eject from her firearm straight down her shirt, get lodged in her bra. That shit had to burn. So,
yeah,
and,
for sure.
And my dad had a comment. It's just like, my dad's a gentleman, wanted help, but there was no fucking chance he was. And it's just like, so ladies, please, as a PSA, don't wear revealing clothing at a gun range unless you want really weird burn marks. And if you're into that, hey, go ahead. Go topless. And let's see, what else? There was a couple other ones, a couple other people. Oh, there was this one gentleman that had a firearm that was either older than dirt or never cleaned it because, like, the trigger was hard, ejecting everything was a pain in the ass. It was just scary as hell. And I never clean
I always love looking down the line and seeing who's got what random ass gun.
And I'm the guy who never cleans his gun unless it starts having minor issues. Then I'm like, okay, I'll clean it. Because cleaning guns, like, there's no reason why I should clean my gun after every time shooting. I'm sorry. I have guns that I've had most of my life, and I've still never fucking cleaned them. And they work perfectly. So you cleaning Nazis can do something.
Clean your gun.
Oh. So anybody else have any funny gun stories? Because I did that RSO story always makes me laugh.
Luckily, I've never been witness to anything that insane.
Because it's one of the few moments in life that James and I have looked at each other and knew the exact fucking same thought. Because we literally moved the same direction at the same time. It's like, nope.
I might have even let out like an audible, ooh.
Nope, it was just a backup.
I think James and I were literally at awe at the level of stupidity we were witnessing. I mean, this is Olympic level stupidity. If there was a sport, he would have been its fucking champion. I have never seen
anything. Yeah, I mean, there's some pretty hard fucking fast rules when it comes to firearm safety, and that's one that just scares the shit out of me. I mean, like,
if you're not that, looking at me, don't look at a loaded gun.
Sweeps me with a BB gun.
I don't think I've ever done that with a BB gun either. Not where the BB comes out, not the side that it comes out of, but I've looked down the actual barrel on the other side to see if it's clear.
By the way, it even creeps me out when I've unloaded the firearm, I know it's empty, the trigger's locked back, the slide's locked back, or even the .357, I had to do this at some point because something was funky on it, removed everything, looked down the barrel on the front, and even that gave me the fucking heebie-jeebies. So
cylinder open, nothing down the barrel, and you're just looking down. That it still is a weird fucking thing. Now
there's one other time that James and I basically looked at each other, didn't say anything, and it was after a fucking movie called Sin City.
Oh,
because James and I are snarky as hell. We make fun of everything. We saw the movie and didn't say anything for the ride home. That was that level of awe when this happened.
My first time seeing Sin City in theater is something.
It is.
It was something. As long as you don't do the what a Dame to Die For, that one sucked.
I still haven't seen it after you told me it blew.
Brian can attest to that one.
Last minute.
Yeah, I can. Yeah. Oh, God.
Have any of you seen the preview trailer for Picard?
No.
Ryan?
Picard?
Yeah,
Picard.
Dude, they're doing it's Star Trek Picard.
Oh, Picard. I thought you said the card.
No, Picard. As in Star Trek.
Yeah, no, I saw the thumbnail for it on YouTube, and I was like, oh, they're doing that, okay.
Dude, you gotta see the fucking trailer. So basically, the trailer is, I'll spoil it for you. It's a fucking trailer. What the fuck do I care? So basically what it is he's in a vineyard. Part of the story is his brother had a vineyard, so I don't know if his brother's going to be in there, and he retired. And it's like this lady interviewing him or this lady interrogating him saying, you know, basically saying everything he did. And then 15 years ago, you retired. And that's where the trailer ends. And I've been told the previous, like the Destiny, the latest Enterprise Discovery, heard it's amazing. I'm not really interested in it because I want to see after Enterprise, Star Trek, Next Generation.
Is this a TV show or movie?
It's a movie. TV show. Right now, I think it's going to be... I've heard it was supposed to be 6 episodes. I have no idea if that's true, because I might be pulling that out of my tail. And it's going to be on CBS Online, which kind of pisses me off. Because it's not...
I have a friend that has that.
I guess, you know... And it can't be hard to find after a while on other places. But I'm super jazzed, because I love Star Trek, and Picard's like my favorite captain.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Benjamin Sisko was pretty badass after a while.
Yeah, it took him a little bit.
I was never a giant fan of Voyager.
Voyager had its moments.
Yeah, but it was, I don't know. My only issue with Voyager, this is kind of a petty, after a while I got tired of their giant arcing storylines. And they had individual episodes, but it was so, I don't know. After a while you just, but there were fucking 3 Star Trek shows on, I think, at one point in time. And it was a little...
Yeah, it's TNG, it's Voyager.
I think,
Deep Space Nine.
Yeah.
Thank you. Yeah.
I think those were on at one time. I could be wrong.
Yeah, they were all...
I think they were.
Yeah, they were all at one point.
So
I got to be honest. I never watched a ton of Star Trek. I like the movies.
So speaking of that type of...
a bunch of the original ones.
Kind of thing. So have you guys...
Watched a little bit of Next Gen when I was a kid.
Heard of The Hum in the Ocean? That there was a
hum in the ocean.
Yeah, there was a strange hum that was going on in the ocean for quite a while.
I know people who've gotten a hum in an ocean.
Not a hummer. There's a difference. So they actually finally figured out. You guys hadn't heard of that one?
No, I probably have, but
Ryan?
Negative.
So there was a new volcano that appeared off of France.
Really?
Yeah. They weren't sure what the actual hum was for quite a long time, but there was just like just this weird sound that was going on in the ocean for quite a while. And there was, you know, conspiracy theorists, of course, that were going on about it. Anyway, what they actually figured it out was, is there was a newborn volcano that just appeared off of, just trying to figure out, the Indian Ocean, right off the coast of France.
Huh.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Weird.
At least it's not on the Ring of Fire.
They're actually saying that the magma and the actual volcanic chamber is actually pretty small now. But I was just kind of curious, like, that was a pretty interesting thing, because I heard about this actually months ago, which is kind of why I'm like kind of surprised you guys never even heard of any of it.
Yeah, it hasn't come across it hasn't come across anything I've read. Hmm. So, ladies and gentlemen, we are coming up to a close. Anybody have anything else to say before I end this episode?
Nope.
So, ladies and gentlemen, for the California Pariah, for the fat man, and for the sunburned one, as always, thank you for listening.
Goodbye.